Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Little 5-year-old Ariel is out of her coma, and we are all so happy and thankful for that. There isn't any word on a prognosis or condition as of the recording of this episode, but we're just so relieved she came out of her coma. Doctors are amazing, and God's hand has been with them all the way. You know, I always forget we have new listeners each week, and one such listener has sent me an email with a couple of great questions. I'll answer them the best I can. Keep them coming. You guys are great. Have you had a rolling power outage issue yet? It's inconvenient and it's avoidable, but I'm not sure it rises to the level of some great conspiracy. We'll talk about it. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo sacrificed lives, facts, and other people's careers for his own political gain. This was the most deranged Trump syndrome episode of all of them. One MajorLeagueBaseball.com writer lists the Royals as a team to watch as spring training opens. We'll talk about the pitchers he's in love with that pitch for the Royals. Jesse Newell of the Star has an excellent argument for getting rid of the NCAA tournament committee. You got to hear this. And North Carolina basketball is searching for teams to play via Twitter, only in our deranged era of COVID. It's brought to you by Back 9 Development, back9development.com. They're a real estate development company as well as a life factor specializing in custom building. They do commercial buildings as well as custom homes. Right now, they're focusing in on a new condo project called the Solheim. And this is a really cool spot, man. Kevin Keatsman Has Issues is brought to you by back9development.com, and they'd love the opportunity to share their information with you about these gorgeous 1- and 2-bedroom condos that are available starting as low as $249, featuring maintenance-free living, including a pool, a clubhouse, elevators, covered parking. Solheim is unique to the Grand Mirror area. Contact TJ at back9development.com today to get some more information about a possible condo for you. First building is expected to be move-in ready prior to K-State's first game in September or your child going off to college in September. 785-236-0161 is the number to call, or log on to back9development.com. You'll see everything you need to know right there. It's the numeral 9, back9development.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. We just make it easy. That's it. That's what the customers say every single time at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC. Online, robertsrobinson.com. You can shop, click, and drive with Chevrolet. Find new roads. Been tooling around in the Sierra Denali. Did that yesterday with the missus a little bit while it was snowing. It is, of course, a beast in the snow. You know that about GMC trucks and the GMC Sierra. So there was no question about that. But man, it's just so comfortable and easy to operate in the snow. You kick it into four-wheel high, you drive around. The defrost on the dashboard of this is the best of any vehicle I've ever had. I mean, we're talking exceedingly cold temperatures right now. And a lot of times you get in those situations where if it melts, it refreezes and it gums up your wipers and all that. Man, this thing's a beauty, and I've been parking it outside. It really, really works. This is just a terrific truck. Love it. The Sierra Denali from Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Don't forget about the Chevy trucks as well and the great lineup of SUVs that they have with Buick and, of course, GMC as well, or the all-new Chevy Blazer. All at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. We just make it easy. And BeStock.net in Overland Park, the outlet store, where you can save 30% or more on brand-new electronics with warranties. Samsung televisions, Apple computer products, LG, Vizio, Dell, HP, Lenovo. Amazing savings on pretty much everything you're looking for. There is no other way to buy electronics in Kansas City ever again. You're spending too much if you go anywhere else. I promise. Check it out online at bstock.net. There's no dash or anything. Just B as in boy, bstock.net. And you'll get their phone number and their address and everything else there at the website. But you can browse the website for all the products they have. Note that a lot of those products that you see on their website are cheaper than anywhere else you'll find them. But if you go to the outlet store and buy them, they're even less than that because you're picking it up yourself. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. The only way to buy electronics in Kansas City is BeStock.net's outlet store in Olathe. All right, little Ariel is out of her coma, and we got a whole bunch of other topics today on KKHI. Hit it!
Elite Automation presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Make your building great again. Online at EliteAutomate.com.
Well, we've got the best news ever to start off. Kevin Kietzman has issues today. Little Ariel, the five-year-old girl that was injured in that car wreck a couple of weeks ago involving former Chiefs outside linebackers coach Britt Reed, is out of her coma. She is awake, according to friends of the family who have posted this on social media. They have raised almost $500,000 throughout this process through the GoFundMe page. We know they're getting support from the Chiefs as well at this point, but she has awakened. There is not much more known about her condition other than that, and there really isn't anything as far as the investigation is concerned or anything like that to pass along, but I just thought we'd start the podcast today with the good news that the little girl is awake. That can only be a positive. That doesn't mean she's out of the woods. That doesn't mean everything's great or anything like that. We don't know all of those things, but it is the best news we have heard. What's it been? Over 10 days, almost 12 days since this occurred. So that is just fabulous news that at least she's awake for now and there's an update. Apparently she woke up late Monday night. And they posted very early in the middle of the night or this morning, Tuesday morning, that little Ariel is awake or she is out of her coma. So there's some excellent news to get the podcast started today. We're getting the podcast started today for the second time. I'll share a little inside baseball with you here at KKHI. If you're wondering why this was posted a little bit later than normal on this Tuesday, I've got my fingers crossed as I'm doing this. I don't know what's going on. The weather's a factor. There's all kinds of weird things happening. I did the entire podcast earlier today, and when I went back to edit it, put it together, and post it, it was useless. It had a complete static sound through the entire thing. I've run some tests, which I always do. I always test to see. I've run some tests to make sure that we're okay here on this next edition, and so I think it is. Now, if I do this podcast and there's some gaps in it where it's unworkable this time, I'm just going to have to edit those out. So if you hear some sort of a choppy edit in this thing, it's because I took out something that sounded staticky and edited it together with something else, because I need to get the podcast posted and we need to get it up. So that we're working on that. I have no idea if this is weather-related. When I first started doing this, I had a couple of podcasts or a couple segments do that, some interviews and things like that, and I figured out that what it was the headphones I was using. Like if you touch things right now, it's so dry, it's staticky, right? So the headphones, I think what was happening was they were either emitting some sound or some sort of a static really close to the microphone that was electronically altering something. I don't think it was actually recorded weird, but just think of it as static running through your electronics. So I went to earbuds, and I've been using earbuds now for about 5 months. I only used the headphones for a couple of weeks, and I like the earbuds anyway. I don't know. This has not been a problem, but it is so dry and so cold. There may just be so much electricity in this room that I don't have it grounded properly or something. I don't know. I'll have to find somebody and see if I can find the cause of why this occurs. But this is take two. There's a short list of times I've been as frustrated in my career as I was today, because I really felt like I nailed this one today. I just thought I nailed it, man. I thought I nailed it, and I was feeling really good about it, and then you go back and you listen, and it's unusable. I mean, it wasn't like a couple little pieces here and there. I got about 4 minutes in, and the static started, and that was the end of it, and there was just nothing I could do at that point. So we're going to do take two. I was calling this the frozen dog paw edition of KKHI, because we're going to start out with the cold, which may be affecting this podcast as we speak. And maybe this isn't usable. I don't know. We'll just see. But we've been talking about this refrigerator that I had in the garage and how you keep things from exploding frozen in there. Because as I'm running it, it was getting colder and colder, and things have frozen before in the fridge in the wintertime. A lot of you have been very helpful with that. I'm just turning it off for most of the day and opening it up and letting the cold air in the garage get in there, and that seems to be good enough. I don't think it will freeze. I have some bottled water sitting outside the refrigerator, and it hasn't frozen solid yet in the garage. So I think the best policy is off and open. And so that's what we're going with. But I went to take my dog out this morning, and he does his biz, and he comes right back in real fast. He just pees real fast first thing in the morning because he's ready to eat. And so then I feed him. And then after that, he goes by the door. He usually waits an hour or so before he goes out and does number two, right? Well, he's ready to go out, and I take him out, and he gets about 30 steps in, and he raises up on his back paws and his front paws in the air like a horse would, or like a kangaroo or something. I'm like, oh my gosh, my wife's been telling me he's having trouble in the snow, that he gets this compacted snow between his paw pads and he won't walk on them because it's either uncomfortable or hurts or I don't know what. So I picked him up and I brought him back in, and I'll go ahead and solicit to any of you. You know, I got a brother-in-law in Montana who has hunting dogs. Many of you have them. Well, they can't have that problem. I don't see hunting dogs quitting on a hunting trip because there's snow on the ground. Maybe my little guy is just soft as the little Keatsman dog. Maybe he's a little too pampered. I don't know. He's got some beagle in him. He's half beagle. That's a hound dog, and he loves to sniff. He loves to stick his nose in the snow and try to sniff things and find things. So I don't know. I just don't want him to look like Paris Hilton's dog. He's a little guy, and I don't want to put little booties on him and have the neighbors go, oh, my God, look at that precious. They'll think he's a girl. You know, oh, look at that precious little thing. Come on. I don't want my dog to be that. I also don't really want to have to toughen him up. But mostly what I want is this weather to just get the heck away. And so we were looking at new refrigerators, not for the garage. We're building a new house. We'll be in a few months, we think, although we've lost 3 weeks. We just flat lost 3 weeks here because they're not ready to do exclusively inside work. So the whole thing shut down. And so we lost 3 weeks, but we're looking for the right refrigerator, what we're going to put in there. We were out looking at refrigerators yesterday, and I saw a refrigerator that is a garage refrigerator. And what it has is a big pedal at the bottom that you open it by putting your foot on it with the pedal, and the doors open right up. And apparently it does great when it's really cold in the garage, and it does great when it's really hot in your garage. I had no idea, but now we hear of these things. And maybe there's a solution out there for my dog's paws, if you have that. We will always take emails from you at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues about just about anything. My email address is kevin@kkhasissues.com. And I forget this a lot of times, and I don't know why, but you know, I got 22 years into the radio show, and I know there were times where I just thought everybody's been listening for 22 years, but that can't be right because there were people younger than 22 listening. And so you have to constantly remind yourselves that people haven't listened to the full body of work. And it's always been hard for me to think that way. It's hard because you've done the work. You've put it in and you just assume that people have been, you know, and so many people are so kind and say, I've been listening to you since you were back on 1510 in the 90s and all this. And it's just so wonderful to hear people say that. And so I'm so grateful. But I forget that we have new listeners all the time. And I received this email from Shane, who clearly is a new listener. And he sent this last night, Monday night. And he writes, Kevin, great to hear you on the airwaves again. I like the content and topics, but I have a few questions about your format. Is there a way you could field questions from your listeners live and respond to them as they come on so we can interact live? Also, are you allowed to play back interviews from players and coaches on your podcast? In other words, can I use taped interviews from other outlets? Okay, a couple topics here. At this point, we have no plans to do anything live. We like the format the way it's going. We have grown since the first of the year exponentially. In the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks plus, we've added over 800 followers to the podcast, which is a really nice percentage gain. I think we're about 2,600 followers. That's 2,600 people that are going to get the notification every day and pretty much listen to every podcast. Now, we have more than that. We have more casual listeners than that that will listen, that don't hit the follow button, don't want the notifications, don't want to be part of the club or whatever. It's free to do, and we encourage you to do it, and we'd love it if you tell your friends and have them do it as well. But because we're seeing such growth right now, I don't really see the point in going live on YouTube, hiring a staff. We've formed a corporation, an S-Corp. If you listen all the way to the end until Doug Medlock's excellent close to this broadcast, he's a longtime radio veteran in Kansas City. If you listen now all the way to the end, you hear my dog howl, and then my wife read, this has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Inc. That is the name of our company because our dog has a crooked tail. So we got a neat little company that's growing, and we're happy with what's going on. And I believe that the thing that I'm best at is spoken word. It's not that I can't do television. I've done that before. I don't know how it changed. I see some of these guys doing live YouTube events where 100 people are watching. And if 100 people are watching live and then 5,000 go listen on the podcast over the next 3 days afterwards, what's the point of the 100 watching live? I can't justify that at this point. So we're not going to do it live. I'm a spoken word guy. I'm a radio guy. I'm an audio guy. I'm an opinionist. My background is journalism. We've found a neat format here that a lot of people seem to like because they like sports a lot, they like politics a lot, and maybe they don't want the 538 percentage breakdown of dynamics of the election or the, you know, inside baseball statistics of baseball. They like bigger picture issues, and that's what we do here. And we talk about things that matter to people. And so I think we've found something that we like. What I would like to do in July or August, as we get closer to football season, is branch it out to two podcasts a day, and we'll split up the sports and the news. Because I do think there might be some advertisers that would like to come on just the sports podcast and not the news or politics stuff. I respect and understand that. I can easily do a couple podcasts a day. And then I had a friend email me and say, you know, your podcast is so fresh. It's so good. I really enjoy it. It's amazing because you don't have guests. I say, well, we do have guests. We just don't have a lot of guests. And so as a philosophy, as a mission statement for this podcast, I knew very early on we had guests at the beginning. I thought it would be important at the beginning. We had really good guests the first couple of weeks. If you go back to those episodes, you'll hear those. They were back in September. And we have guests. We do guests, and we have regulars. Stan Weber came on every week during football season. I'll be getting some Royals guests on. I was making my list for spring training. I think we're going to go to spring training in a few weeks. And I came up with my top five interview requests, and none of them were players. And that goes into his next question. Are you allowed to play back interviews from players and coaches? Yes, I am. But I find players to largely be boring. Player interviews to be boring. The business is very corporate. They don't say anything. Dayton Moore or Mike Matheny would be better interviews. So would John Sherman, the owner of the team, or George Brett, for that matter, or Mike Sweeney, the former player, or Ryan Lefevre. They'd all be better interviews than any player on the roster. It's just my belief. Now, if you're into what is this player saying about his left toe in the batter's box, he's opened his stance by half an inch, and he's going to try to hit the ball to right field a little bit more. There's all kinds of websites out there for that. There's no shortage of really detailed information about sports. Math, statistics, breakdowns, analysis, video replays, all kinds. It's all out there on the internet. I've never thought that's what the spoken word is. I don't think that's what this format is. My job is to communicate and connect with you on a human level. That's my job. If I do that, more people will listen to the podcast. It's really that simple. So yes, Shane is new because you know what I like to play. The clips that I play are, generally speaking, clips that nobody else is playing, or they're hot mic clips, things that catch people in an honest moment that they didn't know was on a microphone. I try to play things like that for you. And I drop those in and we play those. And I enjoy playing those. But your standard run-of-the-mill, Patrick Mahomes met with the media today at noon on a Thursday or whatever day it is, meets with the media at noon on Wednesday, for me to post at 9:30 the next morning a podcast with quotes from Patrick Mahomes, that's been everywhere by then. Podcasts are not immediate by their nature. They're not like live radio or live television, which is my background for 35 years. This is far different, and I'm evolving along with it. And so it's going to sound different. And again, this is not meant to come off as anything other than fact. Okay. This isn't me trying to boast or anything. There's only one way this podcast will be successful long term. And that is if I connect with you through communication. If we have a human connection here, if you find a routine where you like listening to the podcast and we connect, you'll keep listening. And this podcast will last. And I could do it for years. I love the format. I love what we're doing. And I'll take all the suggestions you have. Don't get me wrong. If you can think of something, I'll take all the suggestions you have. I'm open to just about anything. But the only way it works isn't me getting George Brett on or Dayton Moore or anybody like that. The way that it works is if you routinely come back every day because we've connected, because there's something about the way you and I think, about the way we live, about things, our values that are important to us in our lives, not just politics or America or sports, but everything in the way we treat people, in the way we see things and think, and the dialogue there within. We're not always going to agree on everything. We can learn from each other. It's a good forum for that. And that's the way it will work. So those are great questions. And I oftentimes lose sight of reminding listeners that I need to explain what it is that we're doing, and there's new people in all the time. For the new people that are in, I'd only ask a couple things. If you could hit the follow or subscribe button, it's free. I'd be honored. The bigger that number gets, the better the podcast, the better shape we're in. I mean, it's just no more complicated than that. The number one thing anyone can do is listen and hit the follow button or the subscribe button. It's free. The number two thing you can do is tell somebody else about the podcast and have them hit the listen or the follow button. That would be awesome as well. Appreciate that. If you want to rate it, you can. A lot of the rating services are to 5 stars. My average is 4 stars because a few people go on there and give it 1 star, the haters. One guy wrote, "This is a waste of time. He's an egomaniac regurgitating tired old talking points." Okay. Well, there's a liberal guy that probably didn't like me in sports. He probably thought I hated his team. What's cool about this podcast is I think now a lot of you are hearing me talk about a lot of other things other than sports, although I love sports, and we're going to have plenty in this podcast. I'm not turning my back on that. I think a lot of you maybe have realized, well, he didn't hate my team. He has other things on his mind, or other things maybe that are more important in so many ways than sports. That's possible too. So I hope people are either finding that or thinking that. And I don't mind. If somebody wants to go rate it 1 star and say I'm a waste of time and an egomaniac regurgitating talking points, knock yourself out. I don't, names, you get called so many names, it's just, I'm numb to it. I don't care anymore. It doesn't matter. Actions matter. What people do matters. What they say doesn't matter all that much. So there it is. We'd be thrilled if you went and hit the follow or subscribe button. Appreciate that. If you want to join as a patron, we'll have a patron podcast up with Danny Klingscale later on Tuesday. The Between the Lines 2.0 for patrons only. There's a catalog of patron episodes there and the weekly newsletter we do, the Patrons Post, if you want to join that. That does cost $5 a month. If you'd like to join, you can do that by going to kkhasissues.com. So there you go. My update, I should probably do that once a month or so, talk about the podcast, why we do what it is that we do, but feel free to send me your questions about the podcast or any suggestions you may have to kevin@kkhasissues.com. Okay, I might disappoint a couple of you on this rolling power outages thing. I don't like it. I don't think it's necessary. I think if we used more natural gas and coal, we would not be dealing with rolling blackouts right now, which we are all over the Midwest from these cold temperatures. I think this is the result of going green. Wind power, solar power, things like that, that are not as reliable when we need it the most. We know what is most reliable. We have decades and decades and decades of power being served to millions and millions of America with natural gas and coal to stay warm in the wintertime. We have not been as effective with wind and solar. And so we're dealing with this right now because it's a good wake-up call. I know some people have lost their lives. I'm always a little unsure how that happens. I just don't know how that happens. I need to get educated on that. Maybe some people can explain it to me. Like I've said, my garage isn't freezing the bottled water. So if my power goes out, I don't think I'm getting below 40 in my house. I could be wrong. I think there's closets and stuff I could get into and blankets I could sleep. There's a lot of things I could do in my house without power for a few days and not die. So I don't know if we're talking about the elderly, the sick. I don't know. Now, people could get stranded or be outside and slip and fall. Yes, those are all tragic, terrible things. But this power situation in the rolling blackouts has a lot of you, I've seen it on social media and reaching out, that this is some giant political conspiracy for the left to control Americans. While this is a result of the left, I don't think it's a power grab to control us. I'm just not there. I don't see a conspiracy theory here. What I see is we've listened too long and gone too far about going green and doing things that are supposed to be the right things to do, that when we really need it, when it's supposed to be cold in Kansas City is 15 degrees, not 15 below. That's 30 degrees difference. Cold in Dallas is supposed to be 28, not 2 below. We're talking about 30 degrees colder than what we normally have where we live, even when it's cold. So all of these systems need to be in place for the worst of times. For month-long periods where it could be below zero. Is that possible? Of course it's possible. I don't know what the global warming people are saying about this. I don't know if they think the Earth is freezing right now or whether it's getting hotter. They seem to go every 5 years and change their mind. So I don't know. All I know is that winters have been pretty nice. And this winter was pretty nice until the last 10 days. And it's been pretty crappy. But we're dealing with it. We've got some sunshine and we're going to be pulling out of this thing. And I think it might be a nice time to take a longer look at what we can do with natural gas and coal and make sure that we're set for the worst of times. Because ultimately, the power is needed for the worst of times, not the best of times. You know, not some afternoon in May where it's 68 degrees and sunny. That's not that. It's great that we have lights and power and all that stuff, but you need electricity for air conditioning and heat and whatever. That's what we need to survive. And this is a wake-up call. I hope we heed the warning that we're not where we need to be, especially with the wind power, with the windmills. ABC News has suspended reporter Matt Gutman. Matt Gutman's part of ABC's Good Morning America, which I used to watch. We used to like it. It's targeted toward women. It's targeted toward women in the suburbs. It's targeted toward convincing women in the suburbs that they're watching a show with cool celebrities, fun recipes, diets, workout fads, the latest social media trends, and how to parent your child, along with just enough news to feel good that you're watching a news program. But just enough news at Good Morning America and the shows like that now are just enough news to brainwash you into hating conservatives. That's what they do. It's been 4 years of bashing Donald Trump. It works. They got women in the suburbs to vote for him. It's working. They know what they're doing. These people are scientists. These people in the media are very scientific about how to target. Look, if they wanted the biggest audience, that's a whole different deal. We know in the media they're not targeting the biggest audiences. They're targeting the audiences to sway power. So Good Morning America is targeted toward mostly white women, but women in suburbs in particular. And they've been doing this for quite some time. Matt Gutman's a reporter on there. He got suspended for botching the Kobe Bryant death story. He got the facts wrong. And he got suspended. Now, I'll give him a break. It was breaking news. He got the facts wrong. It shouldn't happen, but it did. Somebody in the know with like the police department or EMS or whatever gave him the facts. He reported those along. Those were incorrect. He paid the price. He got suspended. But this one is now different. He's now been suspended again by ABC. He's basically their lead COVID reporter. And he was reporting on COVID at a hospital and broke COVID rules and has now been suspended by ABC. And this is all you need to know about what the media do in this country. While they're reporting to you that COVID is the end of the world, the reporter is breaking the COVID rules because he knows better. He's on the front line. He knows. He just knows. He's taking a look at it. He knows. And that's about as unserious as it gets. He's not taking it seriously, but he's reporting to you that it's the end of the world. This is what they do. This is the same as Gavin Newsom in California going to dinner. Well, he knew he wasn't going to die going to dinner. He knew this, but he gets to go. Reporters covering COVID don't have to follow the COVID rules. We're just seeing this stuff everywhere. And nobody's been worse than Governor Andrew Cuomo. This is an egregious offense. This isn't not wearing a mask. This isn't going to the beach last summer. Cuomo claims New York was ground zero for COVID. That's just not accurate. But it became that because it was botched so badly. And mass transportation was part of it and a lot of things here. It's only ground zero if he made it that way. His aides are now saying that he hid the nursing home death numbers, which he did, to avoid attacks from Donald Trump. That's what his aides are saying. He botched this thing, all the information, everything he altered, everything he lied about, while he was writing a book about leadership in a pandemic and how great he was. While he was doing that, he was fudging the numbers and hiding them from Donald Trump. Now, why would he do that? Why would he fudge the numbers so Trump didn't see the real ones? This is criminal. This is so bad. And this is where the left infuriates me, because the right doesn't do this. Nobody on the right is going to hide numbers. Let's switch this around. Let's say it was Ted Cruz is the mayor of Houston and Barack Obama is the president of the United States. And Obama's saying, well, hydroxychloroquine looks promising. We've got some things out there we want to try. We're going to do this. Okay, we don't need to close everything. We need to be respectful of others. If you're older, stay home. We have sane rules here. I don't think Ted Cruz would have argued that. I don't think he would have gone out of his way to fudge all the numbers to make Obama look wrong, which is exactly what happened here. What Cuomo did was, I'm going to hide these numbers and run around and say Trump is wrong, that I'm doing it the right way, that I've got this, everything's good here, we know what we're doing best in New York. Then I'm going to write a book and tell everybody that I'm smarter than Trump and that I've got it right. And Trump doesn't see the real numbers, therefore Trump doesn't attack him, and nobody starts to think maybe Trump's right. But see, this is what always happens with Trump, and this is what always happens with liberals. What they do in the present tense is only about their agenda. It's about political gain. It's about power. It's never about the American people. Never. Because you can't justify having a fence and National Guard around the Capitol building, but not having a fence and National Guard at the border with Mexico. You can't justify that. There's no justification for that. You can't justify testing American citizens flying back into the country for COVID-19, but not testing illegal aliens walking into our country. You catch them, you release them, and you don't test them. You can't justify these things. See, they're not a serious party because all they are is feel good. It's about today. Here, you need to feel good. I'm going to tell you how to feel good. We're doing it right, New York. We've got this right, and Trump's a buffoon, and Trump's wrong. And so I've written this book about leadership, and I'm doing this every day, and look how great I am. I'm Andrew Cuomo. Well, we knew watching it that he was full of crap. Everybody knew that. The bottom line is Trump's instincts on the virus have been better than anyone's, but they're very similar instincts, I'm certain, to yours and mine. We know these things. I was never afraid of it. I could be dead today. I could have been wrong, gotten COVID, and it killed me. But I was never really that afraid of it. I didn't feel like it didn't take me very long to not be afraid of it. But I'm not going to live my life in fear, and maybe that'll cost me someday. Maybe I'll die from something like this because I didn't take it seriously enough. Possibly. But you know what? What did the media do? They went after Trump and said, he's wrong, he's wrong, he's wrong, he's wrong, he's wrong. Now, all we're finding out is the left was wrong. They were wrong. They were wrong. They were wrong. They were wrong. How many things? Don't wear a mask. Then wear a mask. Then wear two masks. Then wear one. Then wear three. Oh, you can't get a vaccine. That'll take 3 to 5 years. Hydroxychloroquine won't work. There's nothing we can give people to help them with this. Malaria drugs won't help. Although Trump was taking them and they worked. They just kept telling you Trump was wrong. And I'll say this, and I don't say this lightly because they said this about Trump, and I think it's awful to say. But I'm going to say it right now. By preventing good things to happen over the last year, by simply saying if Trump said it's good, then we say it's bad, by doing that, people died. People died. It's the same thing every time with Trump. They always hate it. They always say it's wrong, and it always turns out to be right. The impeachment scam, fake. Ukraine, fake. Insurrection, fake. Not a witness was brought. It was such a weak, it didn't even bring a witness in the Senate trial. And it's the same thing with COVID, and we're learning every day that Trump's instincts were spot on. Was he perfect? No. Would he have made mistakes? Yes. What if this was 60 years ago? What if we rallied like we did, 70 years ago, World War II, 80 years ago? What if we were like the country that rallies behind its president and says, okay, we're in lockstep. We're going to follow what you say. We're going to follow your lead. If we'd have done that, people would have been on hydroxychloroquine quickly. We would have been at all kinds of things to give people with COVID. We never, ever had a person that needed a respirator, didn't get one. Trump made that happen. We got a vaccine in months, not years. He would have won the vote by 80% if the media weren't against him and everybody wouldn't out just to hate him. He would have gotten 80% of the vote, been reelected, and we'd be talking about the millions of lives that he saved and putting his bust on Mount Rushmore. That's the way it would have been when we had a fair media, when it was fair in this country, when literally big tech and the media weren't out at all costs to gain power, even if it kills American citizens. And that's clearly what they are willing to do. They don't care. The nursing home debacle in New York, the chaos in California from illegal immigration, the COVID that illegals are walking in with right now, the crimes that they commit, they don't care. They just want power. They want you to feel like you're a bad person If you say somebody can't illegally come into the country, it is a crime to come in illegally. We have a great immigration system here. I love the immigration system. Let's let all kinds of people from all over the world in here and have a diverse culture, but let's do it legally. Let's make sure we know who we get. This stuff is just so simple and so vital. But I don't know how you could ever take Democrats serious when you know that they put party and power above the American people, and they do it constantly. It is so fake. It is such a lie. And conservatives just don't do that. Conservatives, we sit here and infight with our politicians at the highest level and destroy our own party, all in the name of how much can we do for the American citizens? Is this too much? Should we have no government control over anybody's lives? Or should we have a little? That's what we fight over. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. And this Cuomo thing is just, his brother isn't talking about it on TV. I love my brother, but if he was the governor of New York, I'd be saying right now he screwed up. You shouldn't have hid the numbers for politics. You don't do things like that. We're talking about people's lives. You don't hide things and cover things up when we're talking about citizens for your political gain. And clearly he was thinking about running for president at some point because he wrote a book in the middle of a pandemic, Cuomo was. It's just an absolute shame. It's an absolute shame. I'm actually kind of impressed that Trump's been as quiet as he's been about all this. Although he had a parade yesterday on President's Day. Hundreds turned out to line the streets and cheer him, maybe thousands. Looked like thousands to me, but I've seen reports that said hundreds, so I don't know. And all of this basically says that Trump was correct again. And we know this. And I think the quieter he is for the longer he is, the better. I think Trump should just let it play out, man. Every single day he's looking smarter, and I think he should just let it play out. His lawyer, on the other hand, Michael Vanderveen, who represented him in front of the Senate, has had to send his children to a secret location and hired armed guards at his home because of the threats he's getting as Trump's lawyer. Joe Biden's America. We are brought to you today by Buck Roofing and Construction, online at rbuckroofing.com. You know, this weather's really rough on your roof. When it gets better, call Ron, have him come out and inspect your roof for free. There is no reason to not do it. Most roofs, they get up and they inspect and they go, "You're just fine," and they drive away. Some of them, they say, there's 4 or 5 shingles and there's some flashing we got to repair. It's going to be about $160. But you should do it because you could get water coming in. And you do it. It really is that simple. Why wouldn't you? You're not climbing up there. And you shouldn't. Call Buck Roofing. 913-384-2680. Online at rbuckroofing.com. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at joslynsjewelry.com. Valentine's Day has come and gone, but your love for your special someone has not. That's why shopping at Joslyn's is always a special occasion. They treat you like family every single time. 95th and Antioch, Joslyn's is the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. And Fry Orthodontics, white glove treatments, what I call it. They were so gentle with my daughter and gave her a beautiful smile for life that she enjoys today that gives her great confidence. If you have a child or a grandchild that needs braces or a smile corrected, Fry Orthodontics is the best anywhere. I highly recommend you go to Fry Ortho. 12 locations. First appointment's free if you mention the podcast. 913-469-9191 or online at fryorthodontics.com. At Fry Ortho, your smile is just the start. Don't forget, guys, even if you're an adult and you want to improve your smile, Invisalign is the way to go. Nobody offers more options with Invisalign than Fry Orthodontics. Go get that great smile. It's never too late in life to correct your smile. FryOrthodontics.com. MajorLeagueBaseball.com writer David Adler has penned a piece about a team to watch in Major League Baseball, and he says it's the Royals. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. I'd like to listen to this and read this. At the same time, USA Today predicts the Royals will win 72 games and lose 90. But let's focus on Mr. Adler's piece at MLB.com. He writes that Brady Singer is about to become the breakout star in Major League Baseball. Like Brady Singer could become a Cy Young candidate this year. Like such a stud frontline pitcher, you're not going to believe it. That's what he thinks. At the same time, he said Brad Keller in the Royals rotation is a ground ball machine. And they've got plenty of good arms in the rotation to fill it out. Josh Staumont is the best arm in baseball. He is the only pitcher in baseball to strike somebody out last year with a 102-mile-an-hour fastball. Josh Staumont looks to be a closing stud for the Royals for a long, long time. Those are nice pieces, and they basically back up, and he's writing about backing up what I was talking about last year when the Royals went out and signed the or traded for the left fielder. It screamed to me what they were saying is our pitching is better than people think. We're closer than people think that we may not be a playoff team this year, but we're ready to make a move and show that you don't want to play us. You got a 3-game series with Kansas City this weekend, and you're going to be facing Singer and Keller and Staumont's fresh in that bullpen. You don't want to play us. That's the next step. The next step isn't win the division and go back to the World Series. The next step is the Royals become the team that you don't want to play, a team that maybe could be a 500 team this year, win 81 games. And wouldn't that be great? And I think that's kind of the statement they're making by the players they acquired, that the pitching is close, that it's good, and who knows? Maybe it's a year away. Maybe it pops this year. There's so many young arms in this organization. This thing could take hold at any time. It could. And so that's exciting. It's at MLB.com. His name is David Adler, if you want to go read that. Jesse Newell of the Kansas City Star has a great piece out on college basketball. This piece is a commentary about getting rid of the NCAA Tournament Committee. The NCAA Tournament Committee is bogged down. They're overworked, according to Jesse Newell. They have stats called NET now, the net. They do team sheets. They do quadrants. They do all this work. And a lot of times it still doesn't make sense. Jesse Newell is a growing number of people who see a relatively new stat, but a very simple stat and an easy-to-understand statistic. And that's what I like about this one. I'm no expert on it. I'm no expert on this stat, but I like this stat, the idea of this stat. There is a number called wins against bubble. So theoretically, if you're a bubble team in the NCAA tournament, your number is 0.0. Kansas right now is number 17 in the country, wins against bubble. Missouri is 15, wins against bubble. For example here, they'd both be, which is what we know, that'd make Missouri a 4 and KU a 5. They could play each other. That's where it puts them, right? So we like that number already. That seems to make sense. Missouri 15, KU 17, makes sense to me. We'll see how KU finishes out. I'm not sure they're going to finish that high. They have three really tough games coming up after K-State. Now, they play K-State Wednesday night. A bubble team, according to this number, beats Kansas State 82% of the time. That sounds low to me. Kansas is 2.7 wins against bubble. So that seems to me they'd be 90-some percent chance of beating K-State. That sounds about right. So they win the game. Theoretically, their wins against bubble is going to go up to about 3, right? Or maybe a little bit more. They have 3 games remaining after that, and they're tough. They have Texas Tech, Texas, and Baylor. So is Kansas out of the woods yet? No. Theoretically, they could lose their last 3 and then come to Kansas City and lose a tournament game. If they lost 4 in a row, would they be at 0.0? Probably. They'd be squarely on the bubble. But this quotient shows it to you and allows you to compare against every other team. And they say, again, I don't have all the details, and it's worth reading, but it's not built for the podcast for me to explain to you how they come up with the number wins against bubble. But everybody's wins against number bubble number that I looked at looks about right. And people who believe in this number really believe in this number. And they say, we don't need a committee. We can find our 68 teams just with this number. And it will help with the seeding, except we have to move this team a line or that team a line by a committee. And it would be a smaller committee, theoretically maybe like 5 or 6 people that would just do the logistics of the brackets once we have the teams, but allow wins against bubble to just determine the field. I think it's an interesting concept. Everyone knows what their number is. Everybody knows what they have to do. I find that pretty interesting. Jesse Newell at the Star with a great piece today, if you can find that. So they can be hard to find because you have to subscribe, but sometimes you can get an article for free, or if you go follow Jesse Newell on Twitter, they'll link stories on their Twitter feeds that you can catch free and read them that way. So I just find that to be very, very interesting. Wins against bubble. I kind of like that number. KU's 2.7. It did not mention, I didn't see Missouri's. Missouri's must be a little bit higher. They must be about 2.8 or 2.9 wins against bubble. North Carolina is on the bubble. Roy Williams is the epitome of a bubble. They've only played 6 home games this year. They're listed in the first 4 out as of this moment by Jerry Palm. They've had 3 cancellations for COVID recently. They've had more than that for the season, and have only played, again, 6 home games. North Carolina basketball went on Twitter this week yesterday or Sunday, they went on Twitter and tweeted, "We are looking for a home game this week. Reach out to us." Within 9 hours, they had signed a deal with Northeastern to come play a basketball game in Chapel Hill. I think it's Wednesday night they're playing them. North Carolina needs wins to get in the tournament. They're in desperation mode here. They've had too many games canceled. I think they assume that if they'd played those games, they would have won a majority of those and they'd be okay and they'd be in the tournament. I have no idea the way the committee will look at something like that, a team that had a bunch of games canceled and couldn't get them played. I don't know. But we mentioned last week the unbelievable statistic that the top 13 winningest programs in the history of college basketball, none of them were ranked last week. The top 13 of all time were all out of the top 25. I think it's good for basketball. I think some of it's COVID, but I think a lot of it's the FBI investigation and the NCAA cracking down. I think the cheating has stopped. I think there are $100 handshakes out there. There's a little money trading hands, but there aren't $150,000 players showing up on campus for 5 months. We're not getting it. The bidding is ended. The coaches are scared sufficiently that they could go to jail or lose their jobs. And for the time being, the cheating has stopped. The massive cheating in college basketball has halted. We're not hearing stories about players over the last year or two that received massive amounts of money. We're not going to, because they aren't. And some of them are going to the G League. Some of them are going overseas. Players are going all over the place. This is good for college basketball, if you ask me. And while you may be a North Carolina fan, it's not that I am or I'm not. I really don't care. I'm completely ambivalent to North Carolina basketball. This is good for them. They don't know it within that program, but this is good for them. They have to scramble in this year of COVID to try to get some games to get in the tournament. This is humbling. It is good for them. It is grounding. It's good for some of these blue bloods to have some trouble. It's good for Kansas. It's good for a lot of these programs. Duke's going through it. Kentucky. It's good for them. It's good for them to get grounded and humbled a little bit, because basketball was out of control, slanted toward six or eight programs that were buying up all the best players and had the best TV deals just to repeatedly get on television. They were essentially scamming the rest of college basketball. All these programs were. Anybody can see that. They were scamming everyone else, and there was no way to crack that top. And so I think this is good for college basketball. We'll see how it all plays out over time, but I kind of like it. I kind of like UNC having to tweet out to find a game to try to desperately get into the NCAA tournament. Football, Michael Irvin is with NFL Network and Showtime Inside the NFL. He is, okay, on Inside the NFL, they've put a video out of Mic'd Up from the Super Bowl, and they show Brady and Tyrann Mathieu going at it, but they take out the part, it's edited out, whatever it was Brady said that Tyrann Mathieu didn't like. It's not in there. Michael Irvin has said he's seen it unedited, and he's backing Tom Brady here. He said there was no racial slur, there was no N-word, there was nothing like that. But he's not saying what was said by Brady. I don't know why they're not showing it. It clearly upset Tyrann Mathieu. He hasn't said what it is. I'm trying to think of what it could be that nobody wants anybody to know that Brady said this, but it's not racial. I mean, language wouldn't really upset anybody. If he busted out some F-bombs at him, would that really ruin Tom Brady's reputation? I don't think so. I don't know, but Michael Irvin is pretty outspoken. He's basically backed Brady on this and said it was really bad of Tyrann Mathieu to tweet in a way that made it look like Brady said the N-word. There was no slur, and maybe it's time for Tyrann Mathieu to come clean on this and say, look, there was no slur, and I didn't mean anything when I tweeted that. I didn't know people would interpret it that way. I just tweeted it quickly, and I apologize to Tom for that. In no way was I insinuating that he's a racist. That might be nice to see. We'll see. Michael Irvin is backing Brady on this and criticizing Tyrann Mathieu. In England, the soccer players are no longer kneeling. Brentford FC Soccer Club says, we no longer take a knee for Black Lives Matter because, quote, we no longer believe this is having an impact, unquote. I agree. It started in Europe with rugby teams in Scotland and Wales saying this is ridiculous. Now, rugby players are the toughest guy. Well, UFCs are probably the toughest guy, toughest athletes on earth, right? UFC? Rugby's right behind them. Like, football's pretty tough guys, right? It's tough. Rugby players are really tough. And they just got to a point where early on they had some matches where they would take a knee or something and go, okay, we did this for a week or two. And they're like, what are we doing? These people aren't, I mean, they're slaves in China. There's slaves around the world. There's human trafficking all over the place. That's slavery. There's slavery all over the world. And in America, we get bent out of shape over the spoken word. Somebody called me a name. And I think at some point, tough people, tough-minded people, like tough-minded people from Scotland and Wales that play rugby, say, this is ridiculous. I'm not kneeling for this. They're upset because of the spoken word. This is not, we don't see these people as oppressed as they see themselves. And so they stop kneeling. And now the soccer players in Europe are stopping kneeling. And they're like, it has no effect. This is silly. And it is silly. It's a silly thing. It's a silly thing, really. Honestly, it's just kind of immature to freak out over the spoken word, no matter what anybody calls you. Because we're conservatives now. We've all been called liars and racists. It doesn't bother us anymore. It doesn't. Your actions matter. The way you treat people matters. The way you live matters. But somebody calling me a name for some gain or something that makes them feel good about themselves, I'm out. I've checked out of that a long time ago. So the kneeling, it looks like, is ending in Europe, and that's the end of that for that part of BLM. Fun stuff to pass along for you. All right, there you go. I hope this one made it. If you're here, if you're listening to this right now, we made it, and we didn't have the static electricity problem to produce this podcast. If you would like to become a patron, go to kkasissues.com. Click on the patron button. You'll get the Between the Lines 2.0 podcast with myself and Danny Klinkscale later on Tuesday. And every podcast that we've posted there over the last few months, you get the entire library and you start getting the newsletter, the patron post, which usually comes up on Friday or Saturday each week, which is a lot of fun. It's just $5 a month. Go sign up. kkhasissues.com.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.